Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. It's time to bring in Cynthia Hauswinter, who's in the middle studio. Cynthia?
No, she isn't.
Oh, here she is. Here she comes, ladies and gentlemen, she on was, her way in.
Hello. Hi.
There she is.
Anne just took a piece of my paper.
Okay, and then and you here, too?
Hi.
There she is. All set for the big storm, I see.
Oh, my gosh. I was supposed to go out of town this weekend. I'm super annoyed about it.
Well, you can go out of town. It's just a question of getting back in.
Soon. Yeah, exactly. Correct.
Let's bring in Janet Manko. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
Are you all set for Sunday?
Well, we will see.
That's right.
it's about time, and we should be ready, but it's always challenging, that first big snowstorm.
I say obnoxious.
Yeah.
So let us go to the paper, ladies and gentlemen. And Patrick Sullivan has a story on Maria Horn on the frontier in Hartford.
So Patrick interviewed Maria Horn and Craig Miner, who are our newly elected and reelected state rep and state senator, respectively. And when we talk about being on the frontier in Hartford, of course, it doesn't mean that Maria has to go to the Capitol in a wagon. But she is right, her office, she said, is right next to that of the Republicans. So she's kind of, but you know what? She is such a diplomatic person that I think that she will make things great.
Well, you work in the court your whole life, and you learn how to
make friends and be diplomatic, and still fight for what you believe in. So I think it's going to be great. But so she was, and you know, to her credit, I like her, I love her for this. Even though she's been elected, she's still going out to all these little local events. So she was at the FFA banquet at Hootsie on January 11th, which Patrick writes about later in this issue, and he caught up with her and talked about her committees, which she's excited about. And she's vice chair of the Appropriations Committee, which I think is great news for all of us. And she sort of is talking about, you know, who knows what's going to happen in terms of minimum wage and the conversation about legalizing marijuana in our state. But and then Craig also, you know, sort of seeing a slightly different take on what's coming up. But I think that they both agree on the basic issues. And I would say he's open to taking a closer look at marijuana. And also to the hunting season for bears, which are two controversial issues that came up during the election.
Yeah, well, like the headline says, bears will surface again this year. There's still some bears that are out there right now that have not because there's food supplies.
Yeah.
Once there's food supplies, they're not going to go hibernate until all the food's gone.
Yes, the bears and the Canada geese have become full-time residents.
Pretty amazing. Now, this is a great picture that you have on the front page celebrating Martin Luther King Jr.
That is a really nice picture. So Shaw came to the office last week and said that there's an annual celebration of the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at the Workman Memorial African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church in Torrington. And so he went and covered that. And, of course, we're coming up on the 90th anniversary of the birth of Dr. King. So a very important year, but always important to remember him and the incredible, inspiring work that he did, including for the young lady in the photo, who did a little essay about what his legacy means to her.
You know, your story on the front page, opioid use down and vaping way up for teens. I remember when e-cigarettes, they used to call them,
right,
e-cigarettes first came out. One of the things that worried people was that it might be minimally more healthy than smoking cigarettes, but that thought that it's more healthy and it won't do as much damage will lead to more people to eventually do that and then go on to smoking. And I think that is coming true.
Yeah, it's coming true in spades. And so this is an article that I was just scooting around looking at some of the national, the federal health websites before the government got shut down. And this was an article that struck me as very interesting, and then it came up on the agendas for a couple of local boards of education where they said this vaping thing is way out of hand. And it reminds me, since we're going to talk about ancient history, of the outrage over the Joe Camel ads, where they had a cartoon camel that was being used to advertise cigarettes and that it was seen as directly approaching children. And when you look at the vaping and the flavors, there's so many of these young ladies that you see smoking them that say, it's bubblegum flavored. And that is just not a good thing.
Well, do you remember, I don't know, when I was a kid, the big thing were these bubblegum cigarettes that were, and you puffed on them. And
pretended, yeah.
And sugar, you know, powdered sugar came out like
oh,
it was smoke.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, my God.
Training them, yeah.
We thought they were so cool.
I know. Absolutely.
And it led us to smoke, really,
right,
honest
actually.
To gosh.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, and all the other cultural things. So this e-smoking or vaping, as whichever way you call it, what's also a problem is that these are not products that are, unlike legal marijuana in some states, they're not, it's not, you don't really know what you're getting when you're buying these e-cigarettes, so that some people think that there's no nicotine in them, but there is. It's just not clearly labeled. So the National Institutes of Health says this is the biggest addiction growth that they've ever seen since they were formed, and that it's a huge problem. That the good news is that opioid addiction seems to be down among young people, but they said, you know, the real problem area with opioids is not kids in high school and elementary school, but young adults, and that this is a very worrisome trend.
All right. Something a little more better, and that is Prettier. Nature's Notebook, Tim Abbott, Ode to Snow.
Tim Abbott really is an extraordinary writer, and you know, there's a difference between typing and feeling, and that's what he feels so beautifully and expresses so beautifully, and almost makes me like snow in his beautiful column about he doesn't really just like the cold and the dead trees. He's waiting for a really beautiful big snow. And so I guess he's going to get his wish. That's all I'll say.
All right.
But it's a very beautiful column.
I want to go to page 2. Air monitoring begins in Kenton. And get everything in place and see what happens. Of course, this is to monitor Cricket Valley.
Right. So the Cricket Valley Energy Center that's very close to completion in Dover Plains has raised concerns in some of the nearby towns, especially in Kent and Sherman, about whether it's going to impact their air quality. So the people that are building the plant say this is going to be the cleanest burning plant that's ever been built. But if you're living nearby, there's still some concerns. So they just want to know. So the government was not really able to provide support in this because there's just no money to buy new machines and to pay for people to monitor, although there is a monitoring site on Mohawk Mountain in Cornwall. So people in Kent and Sherman have got together and they raised money to do some monitoring. And the Kent School has purchased an air monitoring device that's going to be going online soon. And as with the monitoring site in Dover Plains at the public school, they're going to be using these devices to study environmental things. And so we have Blake Levitt, who is a very respected health writer, who is very sort of anti cell towers, for example, but also I would say is not hugely in favor of the energy plant. And so she's part of this group that wants to do the air monitoring, and she's going to be sending us updates. And I will note also that there was a protest 2 days ago, I believe, by a couple farmers and
They blocked.
Yeah, I guess they went to court yesterday. They were arrested for trying to stop the. Well, I mean, you know, it's sort of interesting because, of course, that plan is almost done. So, but it was an interesting symbolic act, and we will try and find out what happened to the farmers.
It's a good thing we're not Russia.
even though
we're heading we're heading there very quickly.
And then also on our very newsy page A2, we have Bob Green. And so we're just writing and writing and writing about car safety because last year was such a bad year for car safety. And we had, you know, 11 local fatalities. And we have Bob Green, this incredible resource here, who not only is a racing instructor, but also a safe driving instructor and started the not-for-profit Survive the Drive organization. So he just sends us these incredibly newsy little updates about, you know, here's how to stay safe in your car. So, and we put this on the police blotter page because really primarily what we have in the police blotter, I'm happy to say, is, you know, we don't have a lot of horrid crime here, but we do have a lot of car accidents. So I really feel everybody should read this article.
All right. And before we go any further, you've got the Celebrating Milestones in Businesses, a big segment there.
Right. We have done this every year in January for the past about 10 or so years, and it's really interesting to look through and see what the businesses are, how long they've been around, and what they're doing now. They also tell us what they're up to. It's just fantastic because it's not that easy to run a small business in this area. So take a look at all those businesses and support them.
And thanks to them for supporting us.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Story on Kent Presents. The last Kent Presents was held this year. They're not going to do it next year.
Yeah, which is a shame. That was a really fantastic program. And, you know, I actually never was able to go to one, but you can watch them on the Internet.
We had our Susan Silver go to it, and she said it equaled the events like that happened out west in
At Aspen.
At Aspen, she said.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there were more speakers on different topics. She was really, and then this was the first year she went, and she was really surprised that it wasn't coming back.
And that's very unexpected conversations where people would come out and say, "Well, you know, I thought I knew everything about, you know," smart people come out and say, "I thought I knew everything about this, but I'm opening my mind to a different." So of course, Ben and Donna Rosen, Ben not a young man anymore, and I think that it's a huge job to organize this.
There must have been a bear putting together this next page.
God, the whole issue.
Fine authorized feeding bears, rogue bears. But that picture of that bear.
Do you remember that from last summer?
It's classic, yeah.
Yeah, that's on the street that's known as the lockup. And I can't remember who took it. I think it might have been Eric McCare who took it. But they had those dumpsters outside of what at that time was, I think it was still the lockup. It might have been below the salt already. And the bears were just, they'd figured out a way to open the metal dumpsters. And by one of the things they were doing was climbing up on the roof of the building and jumping down in the dumpster, crushing the lid, and then dragging the bags out. And then not just to add insult to injury, they would leave all the debris on the street. So and we thank our readers for sending that photo into us. But so we have all over the region, as you said, the bears, whether or not you're physically seeing them, they're definitely in everybody's minds. So in Salisbury, they had at the Selectman's meeting, they talked about what's coming up for the year, and a lot of it, of course, was bears. And in Salisbury, the very strong message being repeated, which is don't leave food out. Don't make it easy for them. If you're feeding them, they're going to come back. And then we have Falls Village. They actually had TV News was there, which Patrick said was one of the most interesting meetings he's been to. And they talked about an ordinance that they were passing for keeping bears. And again, you know, the reminder is don't leave food out that they're going to want to. You know, everybody's putting up birdseed now and saying, like, oh, it's birdseed season. The bears are gone. And I was like, well, I'm not sure that they're gone.
Not gone yet. All right. Solar power project wins approval in North Canaan.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. And, of course, they have this very progressive young selectman, Christian Allen, there in North Canaan. And was the point man, you know, in helping to get solar power. So a company has come and said they'd like to not only put solar panels up at the transfer station in town, but also, you know, pay the town a fee, and some of that electricity will be used to help run town buildings, which of course will reduce the budget. So that's a very interesting, exciting story.
All right, want to move on to the next page. Carl Shiat opened up his show at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
Right, and such a wonderful person and a great contributor to the Art Garage program. And so his work, mostly reflecting the very interesting children's books that he's done with his wife, Lynn Kircher, who's also a Riot. There's models of the creatures that are featured in her Ernest and Telford books, and that's up until the end of the end of February, I think.
All right, and a nice story by Patrick Sullivan on the FFA annual banquet.
Right, which had been postponed for snow, because there's always nowadays, I would say, one bad snow in autumn, and then it's fairly quiet, and then it really starts up again in January, and just goes like a mamatama until June.
That's right.
sorry, that was my soul speaking. But a really nice interview with Carla McGee, and just sort of, you know, people don't really necessarily understand what FFA and the Ag Ed program are, but they're very important and really a great thing for local kids. Really makes them want to go to school.
All right. Interesting story, but it's great weather disasters accelerate the need for more trees, and how important trees are in the greenscape, how important it is in these disasters.
And people often come to the northwest corner and they say, oh, it's so beautiful, all these primeval trees. And it's like, you know what? Actually, there weren't any trees here a century ago. And so we actually have walked the walk in the northwest corner, where it's heavily forested now in a way that it was not a century ago when all the trees were cut down for the iron industry. But a speaker at the Great Mountain Forest on conservation, and really talking about, like, let's protect those trees, let's take good care of them. And as you see all these trees falling from the storms, just remind yourself that here in Connecticut, if you want to grow a tree, all you have to do is stop mowing your lawn.
Whenever I think of trees falling, I think of the tornadoes and the destruction of cathedral pines.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
How devastating that was. And you go by that area now, and you would have never known it happened.
Right. Yeah. I remember even since I moved here, you could see those, like a graveyard of the trees.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, and then, of course, in 2011, when we had that huge October storm, and so many trees were down, it was unbelievable if you drove to Hartford. And also we have, so if you live in the northwest corner, you do know Tori Jada, because Anne Day, and I know a lot of people, but between the two of us, like, we feel like nothing compared to Tori Jada. Tori knows everybody. And she's done a wonderful film on addiction, and spoke to a person named Hope Payson, who is a respected local social worker who does a lot of addiction work. And so she's been working on a film for a couple of years now, and it's going to be screened on Sunday, January 27th, 11:30 a.m. at the Movie House in Millerton, and it's part of the Salisbury Forum.
And sad to see that Joey Sexton passed away.
Yeah, young man.
I've known Joey for a long time. A celebration of his life will be held on February 9th, beginning at 4 at the VFW post in North Canaan.
Right, some very sad opens this week, and we have a gentleman and on the same page as the memorial ad for his stepson, who died at this time in 1990, and then Dottie Jackier, who was one of the founders of the Laurelbrook Farm empire over there, and really an iconic local person.
She once, I went there to record an interview doing video and sound for PBS in Hartford, and we were treated like farmhands when they paused.
She fed you.
When they paused for lunch. You went to her house, and my God, what a lunch!
Well, you know, interestingly, she died while preparing lunch for the farm the farm and the family, and you know, in a funny way, what a beautiful way to die with everybody around you doing what you love and what you've always done.
Just an amazing woman, yeah.
And also, just to throw out Thad Gray, who had run for state treasurer and is a local person, his mother Francine Duplessis Gray just died a couple days ago, so a great cultural loss to all of us.
On the sporting page, you've got men's and women's basketball and curling.
Curling, the senior Bonspiel in Norfolk. Curling is really fun. And without the Olympics, it's not quite as fun as watching the Norwegians in their fantastic outfits, but it's always interesting and fun to watch curling, and actually quite placid and relaxing. The sound of the stone and the little sweeping, it's, I think they call it AMSR, the thing where you listen to these funny little noises and it soothes you. Curling's a little bit like that. Yeah. But extraordinary photos by Tom Brown, of course, of the boys basketball team and the championship, the so far championship girls at Housatonic. And that's Charlie Kaufman in that photo, who is the brother of our beloved Sophia Kaufman, writer for Compass.
All right, we'll go to the editorial pages. We've only got about 5 minutes left already. Editorial, thanks for writing.
Yes, just quickly then, I'll say that what we're doing is appreciating our letter writers, and, you know, I'll say our columnists, too, who, you know, in the main do not get paid. They just share their opinions with us, and the Poughkeepsie Journal has just stopped publishing their opinion page and let their editorial page editor go after 20 years and said, you know what, you can put your opinions up on Facebook. So we talk about the pros and cons of that and how
there are no pros to it.
and how very honored we are to have our readers' words come to us in letters, because even now, January 17th, when not many people are thinking about, you know, what would I like to write? We have some really interesting letters, many different topics. Read them all.
The gutting of the newspaper industry, like what all the networks cut back on their foreign service bureaus, except for PBS and BBC. All the foreign bureaus are gone. It's just, there's no way, there's no up to that. That's just horrible.
Well, and fact checkers.
Exactly. And we could go on and on, but, you know, read the editorial, read those letters, and let us know what you think.
All right, now I'm going to give you 2 minutes here, Cynthia, to recap what's the paper so we can get to Anne.
Well, so we have Towns and World. Well, I'll still go quickly. We have Towns and World in the back here, and Eli Brandt, who Patrick Sullivan wrote about, who's written a book about recovery, and apparently Eli is a celebrity in this area for people in recovery, an issue that was very important to a lot of people in Sharon, and mostly in Salisbury, actually, near Lion Rock Farm, concerns about the renting out of that property for parties that go quite late and that have very, what they consider to be very disturbingly loud music. Falls Village has made a decision to give farmers a break and not property tax them on some of their very expensive equipment because it's expensive enough. Walnuts, if I do say so myself, very funny. Who knew that Walnuts did so much weird stuff? So read that article if you want to know about that. And then CBD products, which are...
I take it myself.
I've got some on my shoulder right now. Right. And Deb Alexianis did a very good story. Four Seasons. Sergio, who's such an interesting guy, apparently has this product, which I bought mine at Salisbury Pharmacy, and I bought one from Four Seasons called CBD for Life. I'm literally wearing it right now. And it does seem to reduce swelling a little bit. I don't know exactly what it is, but I do know that. And Kevin Bacon has offered to support 5 points thanks to his friendship with the painter Eric Forsman, and that's all I have to say.
All right. You're on for about a minute here, Anne.
Okay, good. I have, Cynthia, we ripped out that page. Sorry. We have two reviews by Alexander Wilburn of two movies which are at the movie house right now. I don't know how long they're going to be there, but go online and find out. One is called On the Basis of Sex, which is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and the other one is based on a James Baldwin book called If Beale Street Could Talk. There are two different, very different stories about very different parts of the world, but they're both about discrimination in the 1970s. And read Alexander's review. He's a beautiful writer, and we're lucky to have him. And then there's a great book review by Carl Salater called Francis Plug, Writer in Residence. And it's kind of a Brit Lit, crazy, rollicking tour through the current British English literary scene from the point of view of a smart but drunken author. You know, it's he's kind of in a way a stereotype, the narrator, but he's funny and smart. But one thing I wanted to mention, since it's very important because we don't have a lot of time, is that on January 27th, the Sharon Playhouse Cabaret and Cocktails will present Haley Swindle and Jana Robbins in a cabaret performance of We Just Move On, which is a salute to the famous songwriters Candor and Ebb. And it features hits from Broadway shows that include Cabaret, Chicago, and Zorba. Cocktails are at 5:30, and the performance is at 6:30. We're happy that Sharon Playhouse is going to be doing things throughout the winter. We think of them as a summer playhouse, but
No, they've gone year-round now. They have.
Yes. Anyway,
so we are adjusting our thinking.
That's it. I'm finished, right?
You have about 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Go to the Sharon Playhouse, Broadway Divas. Bring an evening of cabaret to the Sharon Playhouse.
There you go.
January 27th.
It's the 26th, actually.
Okay, the 26th.
Saturday.
And read all the calendar. There's a lot to do, even with the snow.
All right. And that's next week anyway, so yay.
That's right.
And we will speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. TriCornerNews.com if you want to find the Lakeville Journal on the web or on Facebook as well.